tonight, tomorrow, and for most of next week. The 26th annual production of Free Theater at the Williamstown Theater Festival will take place. It's their production of Dracula or the Undead. Steve Lawson, the Free Theater co-founder and a WTF veteran, has adapted Bram Stoker's Dracula for these purposes. And Jordan Fine is directing the show, and it's a great pleasure to welcome both Steve and Jordan to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks. It's great to be here, as always.
So how is it going outside doing Dracula?
Well, somehow someone went to church and the rain stopped for a few minutes, enough for us to actually do the play with people sitting and watching it, which was a huge pleasure. This whole thing starts with me as the adapter, you know, spending, shall we say, many lonely hours at the computer, reading basically all the voices to myself, which can get quite monotonous after a while. So to finally have a terrific cast and a director who knows what they're doing and an audience that's responding, it's just, you know, the happy end of the whole process.
I'm curious as to your interest in Dracula is longstanding.
Yeah, I mean, I read the book way, way back, I think in high school, and it scared me, as well it should. And one impetus when I proposed this among other ideas to Jenny Gersten last fall, and she responded, I think, is there were two reasons. One, we've never done horror in the Free Theater. We've done mystery and suspense, but not horror per se. And also, I wanted to honor the book. I think when most people say the word Dracula, they mean a movie. One movie or another, whether it's Bela Lugosi or the Twilight franchise or Tom Cruise or Coppola's version or whatever. And there have been a million of them. Some have been good and some have been terrible. But the book is so much more complicated and layered and full of meanings and nuances and elusive things than any individual movie. And I just thought if we can capture some of the novel's spirit, it would be a nice salute to Stoker.
Now, you are coming into this as non-equity, but also having a great experience with the Free Theater.
Yes, 2 years ago, I assistant directed on The Comedy of Errors, which was the first summer that Jenny took Free Theater back outdoors. So I'm well acquainted with the field and all of the wonderful, wonderful things it brings with it. So, it's wonderful to be back out there. Weather permitting. Last night for the second act, we got an awesome dusting of fog as the actors came back down. And it just felt so right to be doing Dracula out there last night.
At what point did you get involved in the process, and what was your familiarity with Dracula up until then?
It was about February. I got a call from Jenny asking if I'd be interested in directing this adaptation of Dracula. And I'd never read the book before. And I instantly bought a copy and was just kind of obsessed from that point on. I couldn't believe what a beautiful, beautiful piece of literature it was, and it is. And as Steve just said, my familiarity was with the movies and all these ideas of vampires that we are, that surround us. And the book is just so beautiful and so, it's so much not about the boogeyman, and it's about these group of people that are questioning their sanity and their Victorian values, and are on this quest to save themselves. It's so nuanced and amazingly about like gender politics and all of these things that we don't think of when we think of Dracula.
Is there, with picking up on what Jordan just said, is there in adapting it, you want to explore all that, but you are outside. You're doing it for a family group. You don't want to get too heavy.
No, not at all. I think, you know, you take away from it what you want or what you get. I mean, obviously, the sprinkling of, you know, Bram Stoker scholars in the audience are going to regard it on a certain level or have issues or whatever. The normal civilian, the normal, you know, adult watching takes it at another level. You know, and an 8-year-old kid is going to take it at still another level. And that's fine. And I think, you know, we were always walking a fine line because people said, oh, Dracula. And then the next breath they would go, children? Is it suitable? And, you know, we decided ultimately, Jenny came, took a look and said, this is basically fine for children, say, 8 and up, who can sort of comprehend what's going on. But we're not out to, like, you know, give people nightmares. I mean, I would like to think that they go away with a certain frisson, having, you know, been frightened in a theatrical way. But we're not trying to, like, you know, create traumas for the rest of people's lives, you know, admirable though that may be, you know, like, but I don't know, it's just, But I think, you know, there are so many interesting other layers if you want to explore those or experience them. I mean, on one level, you can see it as sort of, a colonial story in that, you know, here's the British Empire at its height of Victoria's rule. And they're basically, quote, civilizing the barbaric outer lands. And here comes this alien from the East, the Other, with a capital O, who in effect is trying to colonize England, you know, and infect human beings and live inside their bodies. So it's kind of aliens and, you know, the colonized resisting being colonized, essentially, sort of getting revenge on the empire.
As I mentioned, a co-founder of the Free Theater, how has it morphed over those nearly three decades?
Well, of course, you know, in the very early years, we also used equity actors, which was interesting. It just got very complicated because they, by union rules, had to have a trailer and everyone else had to have a tent, you know, which tended to make a difference when it was bad weather.
What he's saying, Jordan, is you work cheap.
We always work cheap. That is a constant, I assure you. We were never rolling in dough at the Free Theater, you know. No, I think the wonderful thing about using all non-acts and apprentices, and we have 6 non-acts and 13 apprentices, is that they're just so willing to do anything. They are eager from 10 to 6, no matter how tiring, and it's a very tiring 3 weeks. But, you know they're getting to play these really interesting characters, you know, and it's, I think this is one of those theaters where stuff like that can happen. You know, when a director like Jenny gives me my head as the writer and Jordan his head as director and some gifted young designers their heads, that's terribly exciting. I mean, Jordan, tell him about Andrew and his two hats that he's wearing in the show.
The actor that's playing Van Helsing is also composing our music. And he's an incredible, incredible musician as well as an incredible actor. And it's just been an incredible process because he's been able to be in rehearsal with us every step of the way. Composing music for every moment. It's all sung and created by our ensemble throughout the whole evening. And it's just super integrated. And I think that if you're doing a horror, you know, adaptation of Dracula, you want that because music is so paramount. And so that's just been a thrilling process with him.
You have this, there seems like there's almost a duality though to what you're doing because you have to have the command to direct, but you're also in a process of learning as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think as a director, you hope that you're always learning, and every show that you start to work on, there's always this mystery of, well, how am I going to do this one? And so, yeah, I mean, it's been an incredible learning process, especially being outside, where just the elements are always a mystery of what you're going to encounter that day, whether you're going to be able to rehearse, you know, before opening, which, you know, our rehearsal got cut in half yesterday. So it's then how do you cope with that? But I mean, there's no better place in Williamstown to come up and figure out, you know, your craft and what you're doing, because Jenny gives you that time and that ability and that confidence. So
and she throws people together who have not worked together before. I had not worked with Lila, who directed Valley of Fear last year, didn't know her at all. Jordan and I knew each other very slightly, mostly through Lila, and I knew she thought very well of him. So when Jenny brought up his name, I thought, well, obviously this is someone I should talk to. We had a long phone conversation, and I knew he had read the book and was very passionate about it. And I thought, you know, this all counts for a great deal. And I just had the gut feeling that we could work together, and happily it proved to be the case.
Yeah. This is your what season?
42nd.
Okay. So
as in street.
So is there anything that can be thrown at you outside, inside, that throws you off?
Well, I'll make this as brief as possible. My first season, I was trying to prove I could do anything. I was 20, what the hell. And I wanted to run sound on the Cherry Orchard, the Chekhov, which involved lots of twittering balalaikas and bands and things. At intermission, I neglected to switch the speakers. So, you know, so when we come back to Act 3, you're supposed to hear this band playing for the ball in the distance. Well, I forgot to switch the speakers. So the distant band was in the auditorium so loud I couldn't hear Nico screaming at me over the headphones to shut that thing off. And the next day I was taken off sound, never to return. So technically, I don't think you really want me around. It's, you know, if I built wagon wheels for Mother Courage, they'd be square. You know, essentially. I mean, I cannot do manual stuff. You know, I'm in awe of people like my brother, who's a master electrician and can do anything in a house. I mean, I plug in lamps and fuses blow all over the neighborhood, basically. So if you stick me to writing and maybe directing, translate, that kind of, then you're safe.
But when you're watching all that is going around you, and as a writer or even overseeing Jordan and what he's doing, whether it be a monsoon, whether it be something that's showing up, whether it be a dog running running after Dracula, you know, at this point it all becomes, you know, you're ready to deal with it.
I think there's very little I haven't seen in all these years.
I mean, experience buys you that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think then you develop kind of a skin or a hide, and you're not fazed by what seem horrible events at the time, and the next day you're laughing about them. You know what I mean? I mean, you've been through this. Jordan's done a lot of opera, you know, which I think has served you very usefully in this particular sort of heightened kind of a story. You know what I mean? That was another plus.
Because like opera, it's very big and broad.
Yeah, I mean, the story is epic. It's large. I mean, it's a cast of 19, and how thrilling in this day and age to work with 19 actors. To be able to create this whole world with them has just been an incredible feat, but also very exciting. The story definitely has an operatic scope to it, and just that it's this quest. There's this whole supernatural element to it that you have to just, for lack of better words, dig into and bite into and go for it. I had to do it. You know, the cast was so willing to go there and have fun with this genre that is, I think it's a rare thing to get to do something this large in theater these days.
Dracula or the Undead, adapted by Steve Lawson, directed by Jordan Fine, takes place at the Poker Flats Field both tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. And next week, the 16th through the 19th, again, it's free theater here at Williamstown. Dracula or the Undead, you can find out more information and find out details on the performance schedule by going to wtfestival.org. Steve Lawson and Jordan Fine, thank you both so much for being with us. A delight.
Thanks a million.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.